Well, we're still in hell.
Yep.
And I'm still giving needless exposition.
It's nice here.
It is.
Fire, it's, brimstone, cave walls.
Eternal torture.
Yep. You really got a chance to do some thinking done.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much you're meant to sit here and think about what you've done wrong in life. And, yeah, that definitely gives you something to...
I got a really long list. Guess whose name features on it prominently?
Batman?
No.
I don't know. Oh, of course it's me. I at least, if nothing else, at least one of my old friends is here. I can't believe Dave actually has an office down in hell.
Yeah, that was a weird discovery.
I guess he's not dead, though, is the thing.
No,
he's just,
well,
he has an office here, which is good for him. I mean, hey, his whole lab thing is doing well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you can rent down here, good for you.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's terribly expensive being hell. I think it's hell adjacent, actually, is the thing, is what the real estate thing says. It's got brimstone view, so that's nice.
Yeah, and he gets to use the pool on the weekends.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
I mean, it's a lava pool, but still.
No, but, you know, his lab technology was used prominently in our last studio, so it's nice that his lab is still running things. I mean, a lot of people don't realize what a science guy Dave is. So
yeah, it doesn't come up a whole lot when he's voicing, but it's true.
No, he is definitely Mr. Science, and that's what his cards say anyway.
Yes.
Mr. Science is all they say. I had some, I would show you, but first I can't reach my pocket being chained to the wall here, and second they would burn up. Immediately in contact with the air.
That's so, pretty much what happened to my cell phone, yeah.
Yeah, so well, I guess it's recording time again. Here comes the demon to let us down.
You don't have to poke, we're going, okay?
I'm just going to tell people now that we're walking.
You're a real
to the recording
douchebag,
studio.
You know that?
Hey, like shut up.
Not you, him.
No. Well, shut up anyway.
You shut up.
Don't wear your hat at the table, dear.
I'll do what I damn well please.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 122 featuring Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham with Brian and Kevin Lynch.
Yes, hi.
I reversed it there.
I know. I twisted it all up. It's all twisty.
See, this is how we keep things fresh after 100 and some odd episodes.
You never know what to expect with me.
Nope.
It's just a little bit different every time. So, we got some, I don't even know where to start or where to begin, because we have quite a few things here. I suppose the breaking news we need to discuss is the fact that Ridley Scott has decided that he wants to remake Blade Runner.
Yes.
Matt felt it was very important that we address this, so I feel we need to get this out of the way quickly, because I'm sure people are wondering what we think.
Yes. All over America and parts of Canada, people gathering around water cooler saying, I wonder what Matt and Al think of the Blade Runner remake.
Yeah, and unfortunately with the new format of the show, it takes us a little longer to get stuff together. We can't get the breaking reactions that you know, maybe you used to get. It's been a few weeks now, and
the papers we rustle when we try to see what's in the news today are much older than they used to be.
Exactly. They're a little yellowed, a little torn. There's a coffee ring around one of them. I don't know why someone doesn't make a coffee cup that doesn't make that ring. Surely some stand-up comedy guy somewhere has said, can't you make a better coffee cup than that?
They tried, but then they ended up building a better mousetrap instead.
Well, I don't know why we need one of those. I like the, I use the humane ones because I'm a wuss, but the other ones work just fine.
I mean, I assume that, like, at some point, the world was just overrun by mice.
I guess so. I mean, but then you would think the plague kind of took care of that for a while.
Why would the plague take care of that? They spread that.
Yeah, but then they died, didn't they?
I don't think they died of plague.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure mice, like, thrive on plague.
I mean, I knew it was rats who carried the plague, but I mean, I thought, you know, first of all, mice and rats are the same.
Yes.
Prove me wrong. Mm-hmm. Don't actually prove me wrong. Secondly, I thought, you know, they carried it and then they died. I thought that was just a thing.
I don't think so.
You know, like the birds with bird flu.
Right.
They've weaponized. Anyway, my point is, Blade Runner, you're all dying to know what we think mm-hmm. of the Blade Runner remake. Matt, you want to take this first, or you want me to,
yes.
need to step up?
We still don't care.
Nope.
At all.
Not at all. Nope. Not interested. I will say, Amanda pointed out that this now means I still haven't seen the correct version of Blade Runner.
Yep.
But beyond that, nope,
don't care
at all. We still don't care.
Nope.
So, Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead.
Mm-hmm.
Sarcastic Voyage officially still, our official position, do not care about Blade Runner.
No. I assume that the reason for Ridley Scott remaking it is to attempt to make a version that we will enjoy.
That could be. I mean, we are the highly sought-after demographic. If you can make a movie that you and I both like,
mm-hmm.
it's probably a pretty good movie, because, yep. You know.
We only both like three movies, so.
Yeah, exactly. And one of those is Ghostbusters.
Yes.
So, there you go. Speaking of artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. sort of, there's this video going around, and again, this is kind of old news now as well, of Cleverbot, actually two Cleverbots, being fed into a voice simulator thing.
Right.
Being made to speak and using its own speech recognition. Basically what they did was made Cleverbot talk to itself. They made it
My God, Jim, do you know what we've done? We've taught a computer how to masturbate.
Yeah, exactly. And it has this great conversation, which we will link to in the show notes if you happen to have not seen this yet. But what this means is this link was going all over the place. I'm like, wait a minute, Cleverbot, that's our thing. And I realized I've been fixating on this thing forever. It's sort of turned into one of our unofficial mascots. And mm-hmm. I have no idea why I've been so fascinated by
it. Fighting sarcastic.
And I did some research. Mascot. Apparently Cleverbot.
The fighting sarcastic voyage Cleverbots.
Yeah, you could put a picture of Cleverbot. I don't know what that it would even be. But you can put a picture of Cleverbot on our helmets for our, you know, our team.
Yep.
The team that we have that plays something.
Go team.
Yeah. Little penance. The penitent man kneels before Cleverbot. But I did a little research, and apparently Cleverbot was built in the late 80s by, and I don't have Wikipedia or anything in front of me right now, but by one of the major, science universities.
Men.
Yes, top men. No, you know, like MIT or Stanford or, you know, one of those big, you know, universities that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's been around for well over 20 years. It's old enough to drink, which explains a lot in and of itself. but no, the thing is, it was built to be, you know, artificial intelligence and to learn and to try to speak like a human. And then in 1990-something, when we all got on the internet, they plugged it into the internet. And that's when it went stupid, because it's learning how to speak human from the internet.
I so badly want to see the horror movie based on that, where they create an artificial intelligence, plug it into the internet, and it goes
presumably
crazy.
They send it after the ghosts.
Yes, exactly. And then it goes insane and shuts off the building they're in and tries to kill them, presumably
right.
with lolcats.
Well, that is obviously the best way to kill people, or with apparently mice who can survive anything, mm-hmm. according to you.
What is it? I don't know. But it wants yeah. cheeseburger.
Well, it can't have cheeseburger.
Coming this summer. Cleverbot, the movie.
Ugh. So anyway, I keep wanting to phase out Cleverbot because I keep thinking, you know, that joke is spent. That's, you know, whatever. But, you know, from what I can tell, like what I've read, legitimately, Cleverbot represents the pinnacle of at least public domain, what's available to us, artificial intelligence. Like, it is the smartest artificial intelligence that exists that we can put in our hands that isn't locked away in a lab somewhere. So I think we're going to keep using it. I think now that I know what it is, mm-hmm. I'm more fascinated than ever. And to create an artificial life form that essentially is powered by all the idiots on the internet, that just makes it doubly fascinating to me.
I can't wait for it to start writing like fan fiction.
Presumably it has. I bet if you put in the right keywords, you could get it going.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, so what if Snape and, God, I don't know.
My theory is that he's a big fan of Johnny Five.
Snape and Johnny Five. Nerd disassemble. All right. So just so you guys are aware, though, Cleverbot will be making more regular appearances on the show, because now I'm more fascinated than ever.
Yes.
So, there you go. Once again, speaking of artificial intelligence, Deke Winsome, regular writer and listener of the show, Deke Winsome, apparently took it upon himself during our hiatus to comment on every episode we've done on SarcasticVoyage.com.
We have no proof that he actually listened to any of these episodes, but
no, and in fact, I'm pretty sure he didn't, because he's reacting to the title or the cover art or the show notes. But Deke, just know, when I went to the Sarcastic Voyage, you know, the inbox for the show, for the mail, each time you leave a comment, it left me a little note, you know, someone has commented on this episode. And so, you know, there were something like 200 notifications in our inbox.
Oh, Al, I'm so sorry. You must have been so excited the first time you saw that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, we got met.
Thanks,
Deke. So.
We finally made it!
No, we didn't. I considered confiscating the t-shirt that we gave him from the contest a few months ago.
Just show up at his house, push him over, and take it.
Yep. No, just stand there. You and I, just like sunglasses, arms crossed, standing there. Maybe one of us like extends their hand, like, all right, hand it over. That's it. Like, he sees us and he knows exactly what it's about. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And then you tell him facts about UFO, about how UFOs are faked. Jesse Ventura style.
Wait, what?
That episode of The X-Files where
I haven't seen that one.
Okay, well, Jesse Ventura played a man in black.
I did just watch the latest Riff Tracks VOD, though, which is an action movie, sort of a Terminator riff, I suppose, starring Jesse Ventura.
Oh, God.
And boy, was that awful. But, I mean, obviously, Riff Tracks did it. It's public domain because they can afford to give you the actual video.
Yep.
And Jesse Ventura was the star.
Awesome.
And this was before he did that Bruce Willis thing where he embraced the baldness and shaved his head. So he was a balding, you know, like that nice fringe of hair.
Oh, sure. Like the...
That
the,
looks
the,
good on any action hero.
The Larry cut?
Yeah, no, that's... Larry's got the... Well, yeah, he's got the frizzy hair, I suppose. Yeah. No, it's like a monk.
Ah.
You know, and it's just like, I think Bruce Willis really pioneered the whole, I mean, I'm sure he didn't make this up, but he popularized it. Mm-hmm. The idea of, if you're going bald, fucking shave your head and make it look like you're doing it on purpose, and it looks kind of cool.
See, now I'm attractive again. Well,
yeah.
I guess.
Hey, I think he was in the 90s anyway, Bruce Willis. He's getting a little up there now. I love that he's in the new G.I. Joe movie.
Yes, he is.
That's going to be pretty great.
As G.I. Joe.
Yes, as the original Joe.
Yep.
I also like that the Mr. Rock is going to be in that.
I'm actually okay with that. I like that guy.
Dwayne Rock. No, I'm not being facetious. I think he's got some talent, and I think he's got some charm, and I think he'll class that place up a bit.
I really appreciate the fact that, like, they apparently looked at G.I. Joe 1, thought, wow, we fucked that one. Right the fuck over.
I didn't think it was that bad. I thought, I mean, it was dumb.
Yeah.
But that's what I expected. But I think what they needed to do was throw in as many, you know, big names and recognizable people and just make it as ridiculous and crazy as possible. Yeah. And that's what they're doing.
Because, I mean, like, you don't have the, like, the giant robots to draw people in that they've got with Transformers. So, you know.
No, but you do have, like, all of those toy commercial shows from the 80s, you have a huge cast.
Yeah. So fucking make, like... Do it like the Expendables, only more ridiculous.
Exactly.
Get as many action heroes as you can, fucking throw them all in the same room, and have them shoot Cobra.
Exactly. I do hope that they do manage to get, and this is just dreamcasting on my account, but I do hope that they get Christian Slater to play, not Shore Leave.
Oh God, what the fuck is his real name? Has a parrot. Shipwreck.
Shipwreck, thank you.
Popeye,
because that guy, that guy did you know, Jack Nicholson impression. And I would love to just have Christian Slater grow a beard, put on a sailor suit.
Have a parrot.
Wow. I'm 2/3 the way to a gay porn there. Grow a beard, get a sailor suit.
I'm really looking forward to having gay sex.
And make out with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Well, now I'm interested.
All right then. Well, you know, he's going to be Cobra Commander, so, they spent the last movie making him Cobra Commander, so now he is. So there you go. One final thing, and then we get the show moving. Tedros sent us this video.
Oh God!
Of a very angry British man spending a good 5 minutes basically just insulting the fuck out of us, and it is awesome.
It is
fantastic.
It is wonderful.
I'm gonna drop some audio in here, so you can hear exactly what this guy had to say to us.
What you get when you cross ginger, as in the disgusting hair color, Batman, some queer twit in tights, and Star Trek? Give up, you get Algar and Matt. Well, yes, definitely if you add a big steaming pile of cock cheese to it.
But that's only a clip, and I think you should definitely go to the website, go to our website, sarcasticvoyage.com, and check out the entire thing. Because I don't know how this works. I guess she paid this dude to insult us, or maybe he's a friend of hers. I don't know what the deal is, but... well done, Tedro. We love you.
We salute you.
We're happy. Yes. For those about to pay a guy to insult us, we salute you. For those who have already done that, we salute you twice.
Yes.
All right. Any more old business? Or are we ready to press on?
I think we can move on to the new business.
To the wonderful, great variety show that we have here now. Yep. That is the at least 2.5 ring circus of Sarcastic Voyage Mark 3. So... enjoy that, won't you? And if you won't, fuck off, would you?
Go fucking find some other podcast to listen to.
Yeah, we don't want you here.
It's all 300 hours, and you're so lonely. Who do you call? Erex's escort service delivers beautiful and affordable specimens of all genders from around the galaxy.
I am Katal, a Klingon maiden of great strength and stature. Show me what a real man can do.
I am Soletta Vulcan. I look forward to pleasuring you both orally and vaginally.
I am Ilvis IV of the third moon of Delnus Gath Giant. My ovipositors ache with pleasure at the thought of you.
And that's just a taste of the beauty to be provided. I'm straight up pimpin', Holmes. See all the glories that all of the Federation and beyond has to offer. Join the service that James T. Kirk called probably the third or fourth best escort agency I've ever used. All employees are thoroughly tested for Venus drug use. Call now. Obey me!
And now, as part of their court-mandated community service, Al and Matt present an educational trip around the world with Sarcastic Voyage International.
Hi, and welcome back to Sarcastic Voyage International. Today we're taking an informative trip to Japan.
Oh God, no.
Now look, Japan is a unique and fascinating country. It's not all bizarre sexual practices and used underwear and vending machines.
But you admit that both of those things flourish in Japan.
Well, okay, yes, but that's not...
And you admit that Japan also invented the molded body pillow so aging businessmen could dry hump cartoon characters.
Right, that did happen.
And the Japanese scientists crafted a robot specifically for makeout purposes.
Well, any robot could be built for makeout purposes.
Or that Mechagodzilla was only invented so that the then Emperor of Japan could have a shot at making love to Godzilla.
That's not... There's no documented...
What about the Japanese botanist who engineered a plant that grows boobs and screams?
Okay, yes,
but... Or the fact that the Japanese space program was developed solely for the purposes of having sex with Jupiter.
Enough! Japan has had a somewhat strange history of questionable sexual practices, but they've also brought many technological advances to the world. Affordable cars, for example.
And they built those to cater to mechanophiles that sprung up after World War II.
Oh God, is that what I think it is?
Oh yeah.
Well, what about the development of computers, huh?
Please, that was a long-term plan to develop the internet, making bizarre sexual practices more mainstream, allowing Japan to spread its filth across the country in an effort to sell more of those goddamn body pillows.
It makes so much sense. My God, it's all been an elaborate plot by Japan to spread depravity across the globe.
Of course. You know what Pearl Harbor was, right?
No.
A plan to fuck Hawaii with bombs. There was a Japanese general who was really into that.
Oh, God, that's all for SV International. Next week, Germany.
Oh, that's going to be much better.
This has been Sarcastic Voyage International.
Before we start recording, I go through a little ritual to get my energy levels up. One part of this ritual involves a carefully constructed playlist of upbeat songs that never fail to make me happy. But God help us if Rapper's Delight should come up in that rotation. Because here's the thing about Rapper's Delight. It's one of my all-time favorite songs. It harkens back to a simpler time when rap songs were about good times, possessing more clothes than a well-known athlete, and embarrassing dinner situations involving poultry that's taken on the properties of lumber. Plus there's that hook, which I'm pretty sure represents the pinnacle of funk-related science achievement. It's impossible for me not to at least smile a little when I hear it. But there's a dark side to that, which is this. I don't know how to stop listening to Rapper's Delight. It's 14 minutes, and I can't miss a second of it. And then, inevitably, I discover that while my conscious mind was distracted, my unconscious mind sent my fingers over to the mouse and restarted the damn thing again from the beginning, trapping me inside the same good time feedback loop all over again. Music has always been closely intertwined with my many and varied neuroses, and like every problem I've ever had, this one is entirely my mother's fault. When I was very little, my mom liked to sing to me. This paints a picture of a happy woman wishing to remain positive and inject some degree of that positivity into her young child. And that's a more or less accurate picture, at least as far as I knew then. But in retrospect, as I now realize which song she was singing to me, I begin to doubt the veracity of that image. In fairness, her repertoire was fairly extensive, but two songs in particular stand out for me. Maxwell's Silver Hammer by the Beatles, and Mac the Knife as performed by Bobby Darin. For those of you somehow unfamiliar with either of these ditties, a little clarification. Maxwell's Silver Hammer is an insanely upbeat song that sounds like it's made for children, what with its whimsical tempo and jolly orchestration. But then there are the lyrics, which follow the adventures of a serial bludgeoner, smashing in the skulls of anyone who dare oppose him with the titular Silver Hammer. This nightmarish juxtaposition is among the material John Lennon called Paul's Granny Music. Then again, John was the guy who sang the lyric, "I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man." Mac the Knife predates rock and roll. It's, well, I did some research, and apparently it's from some German opera from the 20s. But the version everyone knows is the big band version. Again, we have a really upbeat song, impossible not to dance to, at the very least crack a smile during, as long as you don't look at the lyrics. Now, I've never been quite certain whether Mac the Knife is about a shark or a knife-wielding maniac, but I do know this. Scarlet billows is a pretty flowery way to say the vital fluids of a person who is bleeding to death. Maybe it loses something in the translation from the original German, because we all know how gentle and inoffensive the Germans are, especially in the first half of the 20th century. So yeah, my mom may have planted a bit of the psychosis in my soft, impressionable skull, though I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt, I guess. She certainly had no hand in implanting the deadly instrumental earworm that nearly drove me mad well into the next century. Well, as far as I know. See, there was this song. I have no idea where I heard it, but it happened sometime in the late 70s when I was quite wee indeed. It was sort of jazzy, sort of funky, and the kind of song that is to your long-term memory what a sliver of unpopped popcorn is to your upper rear molar. Often standing at the bus stop or doing my homework or awakening from a dead sleep, I would be haunted by its familiar yet unidentifiable melody. Sometimes the memory would carry to the part where the bass goes up, which would bug me even more because the song was so incredibly distinct, yet I had no way of accurately reproducing it, nor anyone knowledgeable to even ask if I could. It nagged at me through the 80s and well into the 90s. As the internet became more of a regular part of my life, I did my best to describe the song to a friend, and he gave me my first strong lead in decades. He said the song was probably Feels So Good by Chuck Mangione, which was a sort of a jazzy funk instrumental hit in the late 70s. So I rushed out to the record store, man, remember those, and I bought the thing. Catchy though it was, Feels So Good was most assuredly not the song I had in my head. Feels So Good goes like this. Whereas the song in my head, you will recall, sounds like this. I was so close, yet not. I detailed my aural despair in an internet humor column I was writing in 2000 or so, and another friend stepped up to offer assistance. It's not Feels So Good by Chuck Mangione, I told her. She rolled her eyes, a former band geek who clearly knew the difference between Chuck Mangione and whatever the song was. I called her voicemail and I did my best to hum the tune. And she recognized it. Finally! A trip to Napster, man, remember Napster? Confirmed it, and my long psychotic episode was finally at an end. I was half tempted not to reveal the title to you, just to pass along some of my torment to someone else and make you realize that, like having the hiccups for an entire year, this isn't nearly as funny as it sounds when you actually have to experience it. But I wouldn't do that to you. The song is called Rise, and it's by Herb Alpert. Apparently it was slowed down and used as the backbone of a song called Hypnotized by Biggie Smalls. But since that song wasn't about bludgeoning or stabbing, it never really showed up on my radar. And we're back. So, I've been made aware of this, phenomenon, I guess, this cultural thing.
That really seems to be giving it too much.
Okay, well, I've been reading about people planking, and I thought, okay, this must be some horrible sex act, or it must be some, like, awful thing they're doing in Guantanamo Bay or something. And I looked it up, and I know it's apparently people who lie very still and take pictures of themselves lying on the ground. Mm-hmm. And I said, Matt, have you heard about this? And he said, oh, yeah, there's apparently all kinds of this stuff. And he introduced me to this whole larger world of stuff.
What do we got? I mean, wasting their time.
I don't know if it's hipsters, because I don't think it's being done ironically. I mean, I don't.
I've got to believe that more than the fact that there are people out there who take genuine pleasure in lying very still on the ground and then having their friend take pictures of it so that they can put it on Facebook and say to other people, look, man, I'm planking.
Well, and then there's horse manning, which is appearing that you are headless.
Yes. There's owling, where you crawl up on something and crouch on it.
Right. And so I decided, you know, me and Matt talking about this is one thing, but it would be better to talk to someone directly who actually is into this stuff. And it turns out that our old pal Flonk is right on the cusp, right on the edge, right on the right in the front lines of this cultural movement.
Yeah, so, a seasoned planker. I never would have guessed.
So Flonk, he's here with us now. Could you tell us what the hell, man?
I can't right now. I'm planking.
All right. Sorry. We'll give you a moment. Well, let me ask you a question and you
can. Okay, good. I'm uploading my picture right now.
Ah, great. Awesome. Okay. So, I mean, I guess this probably goes back to, like, the stuffing the phone booths in the 30s and, like, the flagpole sitting and that kind of thing. You do know that video games have been invented, right?
No.
There are things you can do with your time that don't involve lying very still and taking a picture of yourself.
Yeah, you can just go out and do things.
Oh, in fact, you...
I'm
work in a city.
Lying on the ground.
You live and work in a city that has more to do in it than maybe anywhere else in America. I mean... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's plenty of things that I can crouch on. It's great.
Oh, Lord. So is that, you crouch and you take a picture. That's it. Huh? There's no irony.
Right.
There's
you have to take a picture, or else how is she supposed to prove that you did it?
Well, yeah. Of course. I mean, pics or it didn't happen. That's
yeah.
Well, I mean, you'd hate for someone to call you a liar about your lying very still on the ground.
Yeah.
No. People need to see it, or else they won't be able to grasp the full impact of what's occurring.
So. Really, you think you're doing something important? Is what
absolutely. You have to turn society on its heel every once in a while, and just, you know, plank. Get up on a railing.
I see.
You're doing that crouch by down crouching. On it.
Right. By owling.
So
if you're crouching, you're on the ground. If you're owling, you're on a perch, much like an owl would be.
So we're looking at different things, and apparently there's fish sticking, which is like planking only by the water. There's standing, which Matt, could you were reading me the definition of this? Do you have that handy? Can you?
Yes, just one sec.
We have a website that we will link you guys to. It's just it's knowyourmeme.com. I'm sure other people have seen this as well. It's just a site that explains these cultural phenomena to people.
Yes. Standing refers to the act of having both feet on the ground while having the upper body in an upright position. The person poses in this position for a photo, drawing, or stoning.
Stoning. Like having stoning. Like in biblical
having
times?
Having stones thrown. Yes, exactly.
Oh, huh.
This fad was a response to lying in the fetal position and crouching. Unrelated to sitting.
Wait, you're saying it's not stoning, Flonk?
No, stoning isn't, you know, you're not killing anybody. That's crazy talk. Stoning is to then take a chisel and etch out a stone carving of the person who's doing the standing.
Oh, of course. Because you're taking a picture only
which
much
then
slower.
Will be scanned and uploaded onto the internet.
Well, yeah, if it's not on the internet, then it's not real. I get that. Mm-hmm. So under this listing, there are other things. There's this crossing, which is apparently faking like you're being crucified. There's effing, which again I thought might be a great dirty thing, but no. It's just
making an F.
Yeah, getting with another friend and spelling the letter F. This actually looks.
You can
more
do
like
that by yourself.
Really, you can go F yourself.
Yes.
I mean, I'm what
I'm
seeing
doing
here
it right now, as a matter of fact.
Lord.
Good to know.
And then.
That's what Skype was invented. But never mind. Let's stop.
And then, as if prophesied by our good pal Jesse Pants, there's coning, which of course we all trying hard to do.
It's very difficult to cone.
Now let me read you the definition of
coning. Again, is fun.
This comes from knowyourmeme.com. This isn't like some comedy website. This is a site that strives to define what you know what the trends are on the internet. This is explaining. In real terms, this isn't a joke. Coning is a video fad where participants order an ice cream cone at a fast food drive-thru. When they're handed the ice cream by the server, they grab it by the ice cream end instead of the cone, often leaving the drive-thru attendant shocked and bewildered. And the picture here, the drive-thru attendant has clearly had his mind blown. He just he does not know what to do with this information at all.
It's like as if everything he believed was just suddenly destroyed in a single instant.
His entire value.
The lies of society have been boiled down to this one cone in front of him.
And everything has now
like
been called
that
into question.
Square.
This is like Martin Luther nailing his nailing his proclamation to the door of the church. This is clearly signaling a new societal change. Grabbing the ice cream part and eating the cone.
And the attendant then ripped off his shirt and ran screaming down the street.
Now, is there a name for that, or is that just running and screaming down the street?
That's
called shirting.
Shirting. So are there any more unusual ones maybe that aren't listed here? Is there stuff that you people are into? Can I say you people?
If you want to get beat up, sure.
I kind of do.
That's called beating.
It's beating.
Ah, very well.
That's been on YouTube for a long time, but that's nothing new.
Takes pictures.
Yeah. So what else is there?
Well, I'm a big fish bowler.
Fish bowler.
Yeah. You go up to a large window that you see in like a department store or something, and you just stare out unblinking into the street, kind of move your mouth and gape every once in a while.
And take a picture of it for the internet.
Obviously. But I think it goes without saying.
All right.
I think I've seen you on the Today Show.
I have heard of candling, which apparently is to stand very still and have someone light your head on fire.
So many deaths.
Yeah, but, you know, great pictures.
Not as many as you think. You have a turtleneck on, you're fine.
Yeah, and then you mentioned breading, I think. Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's when you curl up inside of an oven and have someone take a picture of it.
Obviously, you want a big oven, like a pizza oven, or
It's a nice like big pizza oven. We have a couple at work that we got some really nice pictures out of. You get like a nice, a smaller, not a midget, obviously, because that's ridiculous. Yeah. You get like a person who's like 5'2", 5'3". You can fold them up real nice and stuff, and then
sure. And then you pull them back out with that pizza thing that you slide in and you put under them, and you just pull it right out.
Right, and sometimes they'll rub like some like charcoal or something on them to make for a nice picture.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. That's, in that any of this can make total sense. So
it doesn't have to make sense. It's about changing society.
But just so we're very clear, it's not about irony.
You think. No, it's a revolution.
It is a revolution. You're changing the world.
There's revolting where you dress up in a colonial uniform and you walk down the street carrying a musket. And you take a picture and put it on the internet so people will know that you revolt.
I'm pretty sure I could tell you're revolting just from this phone conversation, but... comedy. All right. I think we've said about enough. Is there anything more you want the people to know about this?
Flintstoning?
Oh, of course, Flintstoning. So tell the people about Flintstoning.
It's where you cut the bottom out of a car and you walk down the street.
And take a picture and put it on the internet.
Take pictures. And when before you take the picture, though, you turn to the camera and say, it's a living.
Well, naturally.
And it's usually the caption. Usually, not always.
Right. Well, you know, you got to change it up a little. You can't. You must subvert the dominant paradigm.
Cat, always a cheeseburger sometimes. You know, he wants a taco.
Right.
See, and there's also jetsoning, which is like Flintstoning, but slightly later in the day.
No, then you just mime pushing a button all the time and take a picture of that.
Well, I've done that before where you take like, it's not as good because it's not like like any of these that we've talked about, where you can just take a picture of it. It involves a little bit of manipulation where you take the car and you take a picture of you next to the car, and then you take a picture of you next to a suitcase, and it looks like, you know, the car pulled it up.
Oh, of course.
I'm not a fan of that.
No, that's pretty elaborate. I mean, really, standing still is where it's at, I'm sure.
Right, yeah.
Because, I mean, what else could you possibly do with your time?
No, yeah, you're in the park, and you're standing there, and everyone's, like, walking past you and looking at you. Like, I stand in there. Standing. Yeah. Oh, whoa.
And then, of course, there's clicking, where you take a picture of your friend taking a picture.
Yo, dog, I heard you take pictures.
This all just got too meta for me. All right, Flonk, well, we appreciate your time, regardless of how you choose to spend it.
For some reason.
Yes. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
And now, Culture Corner. Today, Ron Algar Watt reads a passage from Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead.
Make man feel small. Make him feel guilty. Kill his aspiration and his integrity. That's difficult. The worst among you gropes for an idol in his own twisted way. Kill integrity by internal corruption. Use it against himself. Direct it toward a goal destructive of all integrity. Preach selflessness. Tell man that altruism is the ideal. Oh, Christ. Oh, well, Ayn Rand, you may have written absolute nonsense, but at least you were hot. Oh, God!
This has been Culture Corner.
And now the adventures of Nick and Willikins.
Last time, you'll recall, Nick presented Willikins with a completely and utterly unexpected gift.
I just want to be utterly clear about this. You purchased a butler.
That's right.
For me.
Yes. You're spending entirely too much time mucking about when you could be doing things for me. I've just about had enough of it, Willikins. So I bought you a man to take care of all your excess garbages, so as you can spend more time butlerizing me.
Well, sir, as much as it was clearly done with only your best interests in mind, I do appreciate the gesture.
Yes, I know. I'm an incredibly giving individual, and also extremely handsome. Let me go and fetch him. Oi! Errol! Get in here so those Willikins can take a look at yous!
Hello.
Speak up, Errol. There's a good chap.
Large fellow, isn't he, sir?
Indeed he is, Willikins. I want him to be able to lift all your heavy objects.
Such as my sense of shame, sir?
That's the one. Right, I shall leave you two to get acquainted. I shall be in the parlour breaking things.
Very good, sir. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Errol. I'm not going to lie to you. Life at Nick Hall is not easy. But if you work hard, you shall find me tough but fair. Now, first things first, go and fetch me some tea. Tea, Errol. Errol, go and get the tea.
Shan't.
What do you mean, shan't? It's your bloody job. Now get the... Gah! My nose! What was that for? Stop that at once! Gah!
Now, here's how this is gonna go. You're going to do everything I say. Wait on me hand and foot. And never whisper a word of that to that little tit upstairs, or I'll kill the both of you. And while you're doing that, we're going to find out where he keeps all that money he has.
I most assuredly will... Ah! Yes, of course.
Good. Now go and fetch me some gin, or I shan't be forced to bottle you.
Bottle me?
Yeah. It's when I hit you in the face with a bottle.
Right.
Right what?
Right, sir?
Yeah. Now go on with it.
Well, wonderful. Now what shall I do?
Oi, Willikins, get in here. I'll finish breaking the parlour and I'll need it rebuilt.
Sigh.
What new threat does Errol present to the stable house of Nick Hall? How will Willikins defend his master? How many more times will he be hit? Find out next time on the exciting adventures of Nick and Willikins.
And we are back.
Wasn't that great? That thing.
It was. It's those several things. We're just all about doing the variety now. Mm-hmm. It's the variety show that we do.
Yep.
We got some mail to answer now.
We do have that.
As we do. You guys have been kind enough to send us some mail, so we're going to answer that now. I'm going to keep stalling while I open the mail until we get to the point where I'm looking at the mail. Here we are. Okay. Jesus. For some reason, we got several from English Gav, but again, because there's so long between shows, it's not really like we're being spammed. I mean, there's several days between these.
Yes,
so,
he does have things to do.
Yes, of course. He has his own Good Great podcast, which we've mentioned before. I'm sure we'll mention again, is mm-hmm. The Drunken Time Travel, which you should be listening to. They gave us a kind plug on their show, so I feel like we need to one-up them and give them another plug. So,
yeah.
So we are. This email that he sent us from about a month ago is in Comic Sans, and I don't know if that's deliberate or what, but I feel like I need to point that out.
It's also blue.
It is, but, you know, blue happens, but Comic Sans seems deliberate.
Blue happens, but Comic Sans is forever.
Right. And he says, "How are you? I am weird. At the risk of casting myself out to be a social pariah, despite apparent universal loathing from everyone, loathing not being a term that is overused here, I actually enjoyed Sucker Punch. The fight scenes were fun action. I enjoyed the story of trying to escape from an orphan-slash-prostitute home thing. I just don't get the intense hatred. Sure, it's not quite the movie the trailers made it out to be, but it was fun. For me, anyway. I know Matt's in the hate category,
yep.
But how's about you, Al? Seen it? Any thoughts about the reaction? Roger Gavbert." I saw it recently. Amanda watched it to review on her Good Great blog, Girl on Book Action. Mm-hmm. We're just going to plug everybody.
Yep.
Anybody I think of, I'm just going to plug today.
Yep. So, this is the plug show.
Plus, we know, you know, everyone we know has a podcast now, so that's easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
But she had to watch it for her review, mostly because everyone was going on and on. Like, there were very polarizing opinions, mostly negative.
Yep.
But I know Vishal, who has a website also, mm-hmm. I believe it's allvishal.com. I actually enjoyed it, and English Gav enjoyed it. I think there may have been one or two other people, but most people despised it.
Ugh.
Matt included.
Yes.
And actually, before we go any further, I'm going to play a voicemail that we received on this same subject from Mr. Scott Ziocco. This one's a little long, but it is on the subject at hand, so I feel that it's relevant, and I feel like we should listen to the entire thing, so... Let's give a listen, won't we?
Okay, so this is Scott, and you guys came back just in time for me to give my review of Sucker Punch. I'd like to apologize to Matt, because he saw Sucker Punch. He bared that burden for us in the theater, and he warned us. He told us specifically it was a bad movie. And I was like, oh, you know, there's still some, it might have some redeeming qualities. I mean, it's a movie with, you know, girls shooting zombies and robots and, you know, there has to be some redeeming. No, there's no redeeming qualities to this movie whatsoever. The biggest piece of fucking shit I've ever watched in my life. And my brain is just, I could not get that movie back to Redbox any faster. I got that movie from a free rental from Redbox, and I still feel like I'm ripped off in some way. I don't even know. I can't even explain it to you. I can't believe I just watched that whole movie. I just can't believe it. Oh my God. I don't even know what I watched. I have no idea what I fucking watched. It's just, I don't know. I just, what a bad movie. I mean, and I everyone said it was bad. You know, and pretty much everyone except my brother. But my brother has notoriously horrible taste in movies. But everybody said it was a bad, bad movie. And I mean, I believed them. I thought, yeah, okay, yeah, it'll be bad. I just didn't know it'd be that bad. I had no fucking clue it would be that bad. And I just felt like calling and relaying that message to anyone who just haven't seen that movie yet. Maybe there's some person out there who's on the fence. Hopefully I'm pulling them off the fence and saying, no, go rent something else. Go see Bridesmaids, for Christ's sakes. Go see anything but Sucker Punch, because that was just the absolute worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And I think the thing that really pisses me off about it is that I can kind of see what Zack Snyder was trying to do with it. I can kind of understand, like, the direction he was going. And it's like he failed on every single way, just every possible fucking way you can fail. That guy failed. It blows my fucking mind. I can't believe I watched that thing. Oh my God. Anyway, glad you guys are back, and glad that I have a new venue to vent about really shitty movies that I've seen, even though I've never used your show to do that before. I've used to do everything else, so I might as well do this too. Oh my God, I can't believe I watched that movie. Okay, anyway, glad you guys are back. Glad the show's back. I missed it. Bye.
Strong words from Scott Siocco.
Strong, angry, angry words. anything more to add to that, or does that sum up?
Look, I think that my feelings on Sucker Punch have been well documented.
Here was my thing. I'll say real quick. I watched it with Amanda. I feel like I saw what it was trying to do. It was trying to be sort of a live action heavy metal, crazy, over the top, sexy, nutso, you know, robots and cyberpunk crap and all that. But it was rated PG-13.
Yeah, that was one big serious problem.
If you just went R or unrated and went absolutely bug nuts insane with the violence and with the sexual, I mean, you won't often hear me say a movie needs more TNA. I don't care. I can watch porn if I want to see that. I don't really need that in a movie. But this needed it. Mm-hmm. This needed to be over the top, and it was well below the top.
It was nowhere near the top.
No, and if you're trying to do a story like that, I say story. Mm-hmm. In several sets of quotes.
Yep.
You got to go crazy over the top, or it just doesn't work. And so that was my problem with it. It felt like Mark Millar was writing a kid's comic.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It just was unsubtle, but also not, it had no teeth. So what's the point? But I didn't hate it. I just thought it was kind of dumb.
And
Amanda had a real problem with it, like she does with many Hollywood actresses, in that the main chick couldn't close her lips. She always had her mouth open a little bit.
Oh, she was part fish.
And that's a thing she loved pointing out about various sort of brainless looking starlets. Ooh. That they never close their mouths. Their lips are always just a little bit open.
Aww.
And I never noticed that before, but now I can't stop noticing.
I can't look away.
Yeah. So there's that.
They're drawing air directly onto their brains.
Indeed. All right. Next one comes. So do we have anything else to say about Sucker Punch?
Fuck Sucker Punch. If you're still watching it, just remember, I told you so.
Matt did indeed tell you so. Next one comes from Louis DeGreen. Hmm. And there's an attachment here, and it says, "Attention, I'm Louis DeGreen, a private investment banker, attached to some of the prime commercial banks here in South Africa. The former aide and close associate of the ousted Tunisian president, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, entrusted my care to the sum of U.S. $10 million for investment purposes," and so on and so on. I thought this might be spam, mm-hmm. but at the bottom it says this is private and very confidential.
Oh, well.
So if it's spam, it's a very specific spam, because why would they only send it to us? Mm-hmm. Like, what? Who benefits from sending spam only to us and no one else? Because it's private.
They know we have no money, right?
Yeah, I assume so. We're very much in the red. Mm-hmm. But, maybe what you should do is wire us maybe like $10,000 on good faith. And if that comes through, we'll make a deal.
Yeah.
How about that?
Let us know.
Yeah. That would be fine.
I'm sort of pleased that these are still around. Like, it's the oldest fucking scam on the internet, and yet, I guess it's still working, because people are still doing it.
Well, see, I don't know how that works. I don't know if success rate has anything to do with it. Like, I always wondered, does anyone ever buy anything from telemarketers?
Well, the thing is, I fully believe that there are people out there stupid enough to believe this, because there are always people stupid enough.
I just can't imagine someone saying, you know, yes, okay, here, take my money.
Yeah. I don't need it.
You know, yeah. Plus, you know, that poor African prince. He must be devastated.
I mean, like, maybe my grandmother would fall for that, but that's about it.
Really?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sorry, Matt, and this is this seems like it's in poor taste, but your grandmother needs to die.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, well, I don't mean that personally, and I don't think she needs to suffer, but for the good of humanity, your family's going to have to take one for the team.
I'm not paying for that funeral. Especially since that fucking African prince is going to kick anything in.
Well, yeah. I mean, a selfish bastard. All right, next
what
one comes
jerk.
From Richard, and he writes, "Dear Sarcastic Voyagers, I have one of those small round robot things that cleans your kitchen floor. I would appreciate your input on the following. Does this count as a minion? And if not, what would I need to do to qualify it as a minion? If this helps, it does tirelessly at my bidding and cries out in a sad robot song when it gets stuck, which I can cruelly ignore. Please give me a ruling on this, because if I'm standing on my kitchen table shouting, 'Clean, minions!' it would look pretty ridiculous if it weren't factually accurate. Here is an overlording, Richard."
I feel like in order to if you have a minion, you need to have more than one to constitute.
That was exactly my thought. I think you can't have one minion.
No. If you have one minion, it's a goon.
Or a toady.
Or a toady.
Yeah. Or a lackey.
Yeah, a lackey. Definitely a lackey. Your small robot is a lackey.
Yeah, but there's really, yeah, I don't think there's, like, technically, grammatically, there is a singular form of minions. It's minion. But I don't think logistically in the actual world,
yeah,
there is such a thing as one minion.
Yeah.
I just don't think they exist. So no, unless you buy two of them.
Yeah, then you will have two, then you'll have minions.
Yes. And I feel like there must be some kind of havoc you can play with getting two of those. And I think the brand name is Roomba, but maybe he's deliberately not using the brand name, or maybe it's like you have TiVo brand DVR, but there are also off brands. Uh-huh. Like maybe there's off brand vacuum robots. I don't know. But I always wondered if you tied a rope between the two of them, like what kind of horrible things they could do, or you know what I mean? Like,
I want to know how many you would need to tie together to be able to pull a dog sled in what has to be the coolest way to get around ever.
That would be pretty great.
Wouldn't that rock?
I briefly thought when I heard about these vacuum robots.
I would call them the Idita robots.
Oh, Lord. The Idita Roomba. I briefly considered when I first heard about these things that someone should make one of those that mows the lawn, and then I immediately recanted that. No.
Why?
No, they shouldn't.
Please don't stick blades onto our robot oppressors.
Yes. And it just keeps going until it hits a wall. Probably not wise. All right. Next one comes from regular commenter Deke Winsome. And he writes, I guess he's responding to our Batman show here.
Ah.
First, let me say, whilst I sometimes make caustic remarks, they're all in fun. I enjoy the Sarcastic Voyage more than GoBots, the occupation of Poland, and my own nudity combined. Secondly, let me say I agree with your points about Dark Knight Rises. Nolan hasn't done a bad movie yet. He's given us great gifts in Batman Begins and Dark Knight. He's never, as far as I know, sexually molested me, so I'm going to trust him with this. I remember thinking I didn't like any of the early stuff that came out for Dark Knight, and I was ready to open a can of fat nerd rage on it, and I was wrong. Lastly, I was also wrong to tell lies about Algar in an attempt to shame him into giving me his podcast cash. I swear I'll never lie about Algar and his affinity for eating squirrels ever again. Funny story, by which I mean not a funny story. Amanda was out walking the dog the other day, and apparently one of the neighbors, she said there's the burnt remnants of a squirrel by their barbecue grill. So I may not have an affinity for eating squirrels, but apparently the neighbors behind me do. So, true story. Also, since you're back from the dead, I'll ask you a question. If a supervillain were to give a choice on which your life depended to either... Wow, what a poorly written question. If a supervillain were to give a choice on which your life depended to either put Batman's codpiece on your face in private or wear Wonder Woman's entire outfit in public for a week, what would you do and why?
Well, I mean, this raises the question of, does Wonder Woman's entire outfit include pants or not?
Yeah, well, that is a hotly contested thing.
DC is still not sure about that one.
No, and I can't believe this must be the 17th episode in a row, not counting our supplemental episodes, where we've brought up the subject of Wonder Woman's pants. I don't know how this keeps coming up.
It does, too!
It's just one of those things we keep coming back to, like Hollow Man.
Hollow Man.
Wonder Pants.
Anyway, you would be hard-pressed to keep Batman's codpiece off my face.
Yeah. Does he have a codpiece?
He does currently.
Oh, very well. I mean, he doesn't have the... Nobody's wearing the trunks now, right?
No. David Finch gave him what looked like a very bolted-on podcast. Codpiece.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage codpiece. What the hell? I would wear Wonder Woman's entire outfit because, I believe I can rock a tiara.
Yeah.
I actually don't, but I'm still very uncomfortable with using the word rock in the sense of wearing clothing, and I'm just trying to use it. So, you know, bear with me. I'm trying to get comfortable with that expression. to me, rocking is like rocking a rhyme, which is very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really rocked any piece of clothing, and I need to work on that. It's one of those things. It's, you know.
Well, you should start big. You know, go straight into rocking like a hurricane.
Where would you put a hurricane on your person, though?
It's a nice replacement for pants, obviously.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Cover your junk quite effectively with a hurricane.
What about a tropical storm? Is that good enough, or does it have to be upgraded to full hurricane?
I mean, I guess you can start with a tropical storm. I mean, if you're going to be a wuss about it.
Well, I don't know. I'm on the West Coast. We don't really get these things.
I suppose.
All right. I mean, what weather system is appropriate for me? It's after Labor Day also, so I can't wear a white one.
Need to find yourself a red snowstorm.
Right.
And firmly encase your genitals in it.
Well, obviously. Okay.
Moving on.
Next one comes from Jonah Luckett.
Right.
And he writes, "Dear Algar Matt and respected guest, unless it's Flonk, no respect for Flonk." Hey, Flonk is a respected planker, thank you. My question is, how many times have you answered a question with the answer, "I don't care, it's a sandwich"? And if you want to know why I asked this question, my answer, "I don't care, it's a sandwich." Yours in jam, the goods iPod. I'm not sure what that means. I've never answered a question like that.
The only thing I can understand that being the answer to is, what do you want on your sandwich? And I care very deeply about what goes on to my sandwich.
Yes, I think we all do. I think it's, you know, you shouldn't be that frivolous and careless about your sandwich. We all should take our sandwiches very seriously. Listen, Matt and I are both on the record as being not believing in any great spiritual force or any great, you know, mythological beings. Our souls, our spirits are not in order at all, but our sandwiches, listen, we care about our eternal sandwiches and where they're going to end up and what's in them. The content of my sandwich is vitally important to the everyday living of my life. And sometimes I feel like going door to door and asking people if they've heard the good news about Monte Cristo sandwiches, because damn, they're delicious. All right, next one again comes from English Gav, and he says, "Good, your place's period of visual line of sight of its parent star during one planetary rotation, or it is commonly abbreviated day. Your recent podcast called out my interest to science. I have a question on this subject. Schrodinger famously devised a thought experiment involving a cat to show how ludicrous the Copenhagen interpretation of quantum mechanics superposition is, and disprove it as implausible by transposing it to a macroscopic state, showing it to be both dead and alive at the same time. So my question is this why he didn't invent the Schrodinger's time machine? Because he obviously already had too much of it on his hands. Also, what did he have against cats? Yours, Lazy and Busy Gav." I do remember reading that, and I trust his recounting of that Schrodinger actually came up with the cat thing, not as a real example, but as a way to show just how fucking stupid and ridiculous some principle of physics is. I don't know, the cat's alive and dead. That makes sense, right? So basically, it's Schrodinger's sarcasm is what it should really
which
be called.
We, of course, completely support.
Yeah, absolutely. We're on a voyage toward that our own selves, so, you know. This will not be turning into the half-dead, half-alive podcast anytime soon.
At least not until ratings get really bad.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot what the question was.
Something about cats.
Yeah, I don't know. I like cats.
They're okay.
No, I like them.
All right, fine.
I like them a lot.
Good. Enjoy.
I'm going to get five.
Enjoy your cats. I'm going to keep them off my stuff. But they're shedding.
Right. Well, I'm definitely going to keep them off my sandwich. This one comes from Flonk, and he says, "Dear Alan Matt, is it possible for one to do an impression of Dr. Venture without shouting, 'Walking Eye'? Yours in Christ, Flonk." Oh, he's going old school with that. Yours in Christ. I don't think that that is. I think that's sort of how you, like, for any impression, not that we do great impressions either, no. But I think for any impression, there's a go-to line. There's a configuration. There's a, you know, like when we get into the Nick voice, we go, werewolf, you know, I mean, there's certain things you say in certain voices. You just have to. Mm. And walking eye
hits every single voice thing that Dr. Venture has.
Plus, he says it like 7 times, so that helps.
It's a walking eye.
Walking eye. We could just do that.
Reconnaissance.
Listen, we are doing a Venture Brothers themed show at some point in the near future, and I'm very concerned that it's just going to be an hour of you and I and a guest saying walking eye.
Yep.
So we have to be very careful not to do that.
Minions!
Yeah, that's the go-to word for the monarch, obviously.
The mighty monarch.
And of course, if you're doing, what's his name, Sergeant Hatred, you know, it would be a basket of howdy-do.
mine for Sergeant Hatred is Little Nublets.
Next one comes from John Wiggins, and he says, why are people so into Bert and Ernie's sexual preference when no one is discussing the interspecial relationship between Miss Piggy and Kermit? It is pretty interspecial.
It is. It's beautiful.
And I don't think anyone should be talking about Bert and Ernie's sexual preference. I've said this repeatedly. Muppets do not have sex.
No.
Especially the ones on Sesame Street.
I always thought...
I appreciate applying adult sensibilities to things we grew up with, but some things are fucking sick.
One of the things that always bugged me about Miss Piggy and Kermit hooking up is in Muppets Take Manhattan, when she basically tricks him into marrying her.
Yep.
I always just thought, that's awful.
Yep. I mean, he clearly had amnesia, and then he came out of it, and he's like, oh, I guess I'm getting married. Oh. And then Jim Henson died, so they're married forever.
And I mean,
he just
left a sweet job at an advertising company.
Yes,
for Ocean Breeze.
That is
soap.
That is your go-to reference.
Love those frogs. Okay.
All right.
Oh.
Very well. No, I mean, I guess the grown-up Muppets may have sex. I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. But the Sesame Street ones, I was a little kid when I watched the show. I had no awareness of sex. They're not meant to have sex. They just don't. They don't.
Yeah, like, Bert and Ernie, I mean, okay, they live alone, but I'm pretty sure they're only supposed to be, like, maybe 10.
Yeah, but not only that. Two guys can't be roommates without being gay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this show has been well on the record all along as being a strong supporter of the gay community, of the gay lifestyle, mm-hmm. of all of that. I mean, you know. But that doesn't mean everything has to be gay. Two guys doing something doesn't have to be gay unless the thing that they're doing is actually, sex. And they're not. For the love of Christ, they're not. Any more than Big Bird and Snuffleupagus were gay for each other, which they weren't. Mr. Hooper and Gordon, on the other hand, totally gay.
Wait, is Big Bird a guy?
I don't know. They refer to him as he.
I guess so, though. Okay, that answers that.
Yeah. No, I was actually not clear on that my own self, especially since the voice of Big Bird is named Carol.
Yeah.
But it's apparently dude named
Carol.
It's
one of them dude Carols that you sometimes hear about.
I've only ever heard of the one.
The guy from All in the Family's name was Carol.
Oh, that's true. Carol O'Connor. Yeah. That's true. Very well. Another one from English Gav, and he says, Dear Sarcastic Vets, some of those weather-predicting people have recently announced that the weather in Britain is among the most changeable in the world due to the shifting currents and stuff in nearby waters. Despite being something we already knew as we've lived here, where a look outside can only guarantee you what the weather's going to be like for the next 5 minutes if you're lucky, where in the world would you say is the most constant weather, and should I move there? Yours, warm English gas. Wait, make that wet English
gas. I'm pretty sure Antarctica has pretty constant weather.
I worked with one of those very nitpicky, pedantic people who is loves to live on the technicalities, and he just kept insisting that Antarctica is a desert. Which, okay, it is, because it gets below a certain amount of rainfall,
yep.
which defines what a desert is. But shut up.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's true, but like...
Yeah, but
go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. No, he just liked to say it because he knew people would disagree with him, and he could then point out that, well, technically... Yeah, shut up.
And although it's damp, you should move to Seattle, because then we can hang out.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Everyone needs to come here. No, I honestly think this part of the country, and including your country as well, but this general region, basically only hovers between about 20 degrees, but, you know, cold or warm, and it is very consistent here. Like, we don't get crazy winters, we don't get crazy summers. It's just,
like, it gets cold and it gets hot, but it never gets unbearably cold or unbearably
not hot. Like the rest of the continent does. That's the thing. We get the mildest seasons here ever, and I believe we're turning into very, very old men now. Mm-hmm. Talking about how mild the weather is. But, hey, you wrote the question, English Gav, so it's your fault.
So come see us in Seattle, and we'll talk about how much it's rained lately.
And our medication. Did you just turn into Chakotay?
That's not Chakotay. This is Chakotay.
Tell me about your people.
That's Chakotay. I want you to tell me all about your people. The spirits,
let's see,
of the land.
We got two things from Tidro. We got the thing we talked about at the beginning of the show from the angry British guy. And we also got this, we talked briefly about an off-brand Nick and Willikins movie called Rick and Wallikins. Starring Russell Brand, and that guy you always say is Willikins.
Oh, Malcolm McDowell.
Thank you. And she did a great little Photoshop of that, which we will put in the show notes. Because it
rocked.
Great. Yeah. And one final thing I have here is a voicemail from the other Ziyoko, from Shauna, which I will be playing for you now.
Hey, Sarcastic Voyage. It's Shauna, live from Dragon Con. Anyway, it's the first day, and I am proudly wearing my Sarcastic Voyage t-shirt so all can see it. And I got a great picture of me and Talisha Day while holding the shirt, so I think we're in good shape. Anyway, I think you guys are awesome, but I am going to preach the word, and I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Shauna, this means that Felicia Day theoretically knows about a thing I've worked on, so thank you for that.
Actually, this is the second time she's been made aware of this.
Really?
I was listening to an old recording that we had done, and apparently a couple of years ago, Felicia Day asked for podcast recommendations. Someone said Sarcastic Voyage, and she favorited it.
What? Yeah. How the fuck am I only hearing about this now?
I told you about it at the time, but it was 2 years ago, and you don't remember anything ever.
That's true.
Here's the thing. I'm pretty sure a lot of people use Twitter to favorite things they want to go back to later, and she probably favorited every suggestion she got.
That's true.
She may never have checked us out, or she may have checked us out and hated us, or she may be listening now. Who knows? Felicia Day, if you're listening, we are fans, and we would like to hear from
Please
you.
Do Please do not be put off by how creepy I sound.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's at least 10 times creepier than that. I think this came up in the supplemental recording that I posted last week, that conversation between me and Bob. But I'm positive I let you know when this happened. This was, you know, early on when we done 20 or 30
shows. I mean,
shows.
That makes sense, because, like, look, my love, well, my love for Felicia Day is well known.
Yes. But, I mean, our friends have always been great about trying to get the word out, and I think, you know, the size of our audience reflects the fact that people are crazy about the word of mouth, and doing things like Shauna did, which is wearing her shirt at one of the most attended cons, you know, on the con circuit, and showing it off to a famous person. That's definitely the spirit. Which reminds me, we do have a contest now. We mentioned this last week. Get a picture of you in your Sarcastic Voyage shirt or holding it, if that's the case, or your Post-Atomic Horror shirt, if you'd prefer mm-hmm. that.
Those are all. That's also an option.
In a cool location, particularly a crowded location, will be nice. Famous people is great. If you make it on TV or something like that, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, it would.
You know, and basically any way to show people that we exist, we would love, and we will. You know. We will give you some kind of a prize to the best one. We got a couple of pictures already. I'm going to start a gallery on the website. Our pal, Pat McDonald, got a picture of himself in front of what appears to be a giant novelty frying pan. So that was nice. We got a couple other pictures of people in their shirts in various places, too. So keep those coming. That's great. That is. We're not good at advertising. We don't really understand how to do that. So this is the best thing we can come up with. And it gives you guys something fun to do that, you know, it's like planking only better because you're wearing our shirt. So you'll be changing the world and advertising our show. And you might win a prize.
Yeah.
I was going to say we'll send you a shirt, but that seems a bit redundant. So maybe we'll send you something else. I don't know. What the hell?
We'll send you friends' shirts.
Yeah, why not? So that's all we got for this week. We will be back shortly. And, Matt, you got anything else?
I think that's about it.
We are going to stop talking now.
This installment of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast was written and performed by Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham, with Kevin Lynch, Brian Lynch, Harry Drozdak, Amanda Smith, and your announcer, Cornelius Whiffelbottom. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions. Copyright 2011.
Well, that wasn't a bad show, I guess. On the wall, I suppose.
Are we free now?
Of course we're not free.
Was two shows all it took to be free of hell?
Matt, two does not equal eternity. Eternity is substantially more than two.
I don't think that's true.
Ow! God!
Fucking, yes, poke him again.
No, it's these wrist things. They're really, really tight. Hey, there's someone. Do you see that? Definitely someone coming. That's probably
off
Satan.
Off in the distance?
Yeah, I think Dave's back in the lab, so.
Is that you, Lord Satan?
Oh, Jesus, no, it's...
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Greetings, gentlemen. Oh, it's you.